My name is Teresa, or Terry Barber. I go by both names. I was born here in Dowagiac, and when I was 5 years old, I was adopted by a family in Elkhart, Indiana. I was adopted out of my Pokagon family.
This is Yaj Monen, and I'm Kyla Kathnedu. We're a podcast out of the Pokagon tribe in southwest Michigan and northern Indiana, and we're telling stories of our people reconnecting with culture, reviving traditions, and reclaiming their heritage. Yaj Monen means story in our language. So here's another. Terry sits on her antique-style couch, clutching a completed family tree. It reminds me of a project I might have turned in middle school, but this was newly completed. Just over a decade ago, Terry couldn't have written in any name but her own. She's an elder in the tribe, which means she's at least 55 years old, and she was an elder when she found out that she is a native Potawatomi.
My parents had two boys, my two older brothers, and they both had always wanted a little girl. And after the second boy that they had, my mother had to have a hysterectomy. Mm. And she had a partial, and then she had to have a complete one. And she knew she wasn't going to be able to have any more children. And she just always, always wanted a little girl. Mm. And so that is the reason that they wanted to adopt.
So you fulfilled a dream.
I did, yes. My adoptive parents were very wonderful people, and I had a very nice, very happy home life with them. Good. And in 1999, both of my parents passed away within 2 months of each other. And they both had cancer. Growing up, I had always, of course, been curious about the circumstances of my adoption. And back then, in the 50s, when I was adopted, mm-hmm. adoption records were sealed. That's why we knew really very little.
Terry's parents were always upfront about her being adopted, but they didn't have much information to share. They knew she was Native, but not to which tribe she belonged. She was in her 40s, in fact, before she ever started looking.
They always told me that if I wanted to go back to the Dowagiac area, if I wanted to search for my birth family, birth parents, that they would help me with that. That I could tell them it wouldn't be a problem. But I just never did because I was so happy with them. I mean, even though I was a little bit curious, there was nothing I was unhappy about with them. I think the longer that I was with them, I felt, you know, a certain kind of loyalty to them, mm-hmm. too, that even though they said that maybe it would hurt their feelings or make them feel bad, like mm-hmm. I wasn't happy or something if I wanted to go back and find my family. So that's why I just never did until after they were gone.
What sparked that decision to look for your family then?
I guess just having always been curious about my background, and then the fact that they were gone too, you know, that mm-hmm. part of my family was gone. And I didn't feel like it would be betraying them. I started on the internet, started looking. I did know the names of a couple of my siblings who had been adopted at the same time as I. Mm-hmm. I knew what their family last names were. I was able to find the name of my one brother, but the phone numbers that were out there for him and the locations and everything, I wasn't able to make a connection. But I spent like 2 or 3 years, went to adoption groups up here in Michigan and did all kinds of searching, really. It ended up that my one brother, who had been adopted by a family in Elkhart as well, same as me, I was able finally to connect with him.
What was that like, talking to him again? What was it, such a buildup? Were you anxious?
Oh, yes. It was wonderful, really. He had come to my home there in Elkhart, and we actually just sat and talked for 5 or 6 hours the first evening that he came over, and we both just filled each other in about our whole lives, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. When I made contact with him, he had already been reunited with our siblings. So he introduced me to all of them, well, as many as they knew of at the time. He arranged for a little family reunion for me, and many of our siblings came, and I got to meet them and their families. There was one sister yet who was a couple years younger than me that had not been reunited with the family yet. I knew of her because we had stayed in touch for a few years after our adoptions. And then she had moved away and we lost touch with each other. We did lots of searching, went to the courts in Cassopolis, and we searched for this younger sister, and we were able to find her. Took us several months, really, to reconnect with her. Pinckney, Michigan, actually, is where she lives.
Okay.
And we went up there and we found her. Then we had a little family reunion for her.
Another one.
Yes. And everyone got to meet and reconnect with her and her children. Then she was able to get tribal membership, and her children are also members of the tribe now. When I filed for membership with the tribe, that actually took a couple of years for me because of the adoption records being sealed.
Right.
I actually had to hire an attorney. We had to go before a judge in court in Elkhart, petition the court to unseal and open my adoption records to present that information to the tribe and to the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Right.
It was all a very involved process and a long road.
But so worth it. She says now that she's found this family and new way of life, she thinks her adoptive parents would feel happy for her. Not betrayed.
And was your mother alive when you reconnected with your brother? Your birth mother?
No, she wasn't. She had passed away in 2001.
Was that hard, not being able to reconnect with her?
It was, but I also felt that, well, with the other siblings who had known her, they told me so much about her that I kind of felt like I got to know her anyhow. And they had lots of pictures to show me and gave me pictures when we went to when we had the reunion and everything. That's a picture of her over there.
A framed photo of her tribal mother sitting in the windowsill next to one of her adoptive parents, both displayed proudly.
Since you were adopted when you were 5, you have memories of your siblings before you were adopted. What were some of those memories that you have with them?
I remember playing with them and a couple of different areas where we lived in Dowagiac. I have vague memories of playing in certain areas down by the high school, the overpass where the trains used to go under. I remember playing around that area and watching the trains come through.
What happened that several of you had to be adopted by other families?
Well, we weren't being cared for properly. We weren't being taken care of as mm-hmm. well as we should have been. My birth father died the year that I was born. He had been killed by a train. That was in February, and then I was born in May. It had been very difficult, I'm sure, for my mother to be left with yeah. all of those children.
And how many children?
Well, at that time, there would have been 11, I think, whether it was an emotional, mental breakdown, whatever. She just wasn't taking care of us properly. Yeah. And so us younger children were then removed from the home.
Were you confused at the time? Do you remember what you were thinking and feeling?
I don't have a lot of memories of, you know, at that age at five. My adopted mother told me that I was kind of emotionally distraught, as you would, you know, yeah. I think any child would be at that age, going to a different family, a different mm-hmm. home, a different location. There were times when I was a little bit upset, but basically it was a good and smooth transition to yeah. the new family.
Now, Terry's transitioned back. She's living in tribal housing on tribal land, neighboring family. Potawatomi art hangs on her walls and sits in her windowsill.
What was the process like for you of learning your culture and adopting it?
Well, it was actually kind of easy because my family members, my siblings, and then other tribal citizens in the community were so welcoming mm-hmm. and so willing to share their information and experiences. It seemed natural to me. I appreciate very much the values and traditions of the tribe. It's been really good learning and adapting.
Did parts of you feel like it fulfilled maybe some pieces that were missing for you?
I would say that it has, yes, because it's been just learning another whole side of my life that was missing all of those years. And the things, like I said, the things that I have learned just seem so natural to me. I just feel very much a part of the tribal community. I think that I have a lot in common with other tribal citizens. It's been a very wonderful thing for me and has filled in so many answers for me that, you know, questions about my past mm-hmm. and just has put pieces of the puzzle together mm-hmm. for me to kind of complete my life story.
Yeah. What were some of those answers that you got? What were the questions that you had?
Well, of course, I wondered, you know, I wondered about my family. I wondered, I mean, I was 5 years old when I was adopted, so I kind of had recollections of mm-hmm. my family prior to the adoption. And so, of course, I wondered what had happened to everyone, where they were and what did they look like and do I look like them. Mm-hmm. When I was in grade school and high school, I thought that I looked different than a lot of the other kids. I wasn't sure why that was, if that had something to do with my background or what. Mm-hmm. Questions like that were answered for me once I was reunited with the tribal community, because the first several events that I attended with the tribe, I saw lots of people who looked like me.
This podcast is brought to you by the Pokagonban Government's Communications Department. I produced and edited this episode with original music by tribal citizen Bobby Lynn. Join us next month for another story from this community. But until then, Bama P. Be with you again.